And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. JJ and Paddy are here with me on a Monday after. Jeez, lads, it wasn't actually a fantastic game. I was going to say it was, but it was a fantastic occasion in the sun. Unbelievable Cork support, and it just looked real championship action. Waterford obviously disappointing, but both teams have to get an awful lot of credit for putting on any sort of a performance in that heat. JJ, I don't know how they did it. I came up from Kerry yesterday from a wedding, and it was 26 degrees passing Turles at about 2 o'clock. Like, I mean, I don't know. I've played in that kind of heat over in America, and like, your legs don't work, your body's gone, you can't even gasp in a breath of fresh air. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have no water on board. So, like, I mean, to put on the performance they did, especially Cork, they both sets of players deserve a lot of credit.
The amount of energy both teams had was absolutely phenomenal. But another kind of thing you have to take into account as well is when you have that helmet on you as well, your head is just, you're sweating at best of times. Even during the winter, you will be sweating, but then you just can't get any breath or anything that either, because you need just the water that's pouring over your head now just to keep yourself cool down. But with the helmet then, it's just impossible. You put back on the helmet again, you run around again, it's just back to square one again. So it's something else you have to take in consideration as well, that they had to factor that in. Like, I suppose in the football you can run around, it's not an issue, but that you have an extra layer on top of your head there as well, which doesn't help.
I never really thought about that, Paddy. Have you played in those conditions? Because, like, I mean, you see, you have to put Vaseline on your forehead to stop the sweat dripping down into your eyes, because that's bloody stingy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I've played in that a couple of times, and as well as that coming down your head, the underfoot as well. Now, I suppose the footballers deal with that too, but it's just, I find that you get blisters in no time. I remember playing Kilkenny in Nolan Park, and by the second half, I couldn't turn properly or anything like that, because as much as to say, you know, don't be a pussy, get on with it, it's only blisters, they're worse than injuries sometimes. So, like, with everything together, you can't breathe, and then when you can't breathe, the sun is still on your neck as hard as it can. It makes it so hard.
So what's the solution with this helmet thing then, JJ? Like, what do? Would you put a towel on your head under your helmet or something?
I think just at half time, get it off and just kind of, you know, you go into a dressing room, cold wall or something like that, take off your off the helmet and just sit back against it.
How would you wipe your eyes during the game? Would it be
again, you're trying to get the Vaseline there, so if that doesn't work, you're in bother, because if you're taking Vaseline off your eyebrows, then your Vaseline on your hands, you won't catch the ball and it's going to slip off. So you're going to just better off just leaving it there and hope it doesn't go through. Like, you know, but look, up and down the country, we've seen lads in the dressing room now with a tub of Vaseline over each eyebrow there as well.
Really?
Like, you know, before they go, just to make sure the sweat doesn't get into it, because it's what you're saying, it would sting, like, you know what I mean. And then if you're wiping your eye and your marker is going off, he's 5 yards in it straight away, and if the ball comes in, you're in trouble.
Yeah, geez, there's another thing I'm just after thinking of. What about the grip on the hurley? I just know I was never able to play hurling, but I played tennis, and the racket would be slipping around even with a good grip on it. I suppose that's a disaster too then.
With a dry day, it wouldn't be too bad. Look, but again, if you get the Vaseline on it, it's going to fly out of hand, all right. But look, you're swiping it in your shorts, your socks, and that's where the two socks come in handy. Well, you know what I mean? You can wipe it in the second pair of socks there, so you can.
Well, you weren't on the show here the last time. We talked to Damien and Conal about loving your hurl, and I says, whatever happened to that old towel grip? Remember the old towel grip years ago? They just laughed at me. But maybe on a day like that, Paddy, a towel grip might not be too bad an idea, no?
Yeah, I used to love the towel grip when I was young. No, it wasn't great to hit the ball anyway, but I used to think whoever had a towel grip, it must have been the coolest young player going on. That was when I was very, very young. But there was something about it, because I think it was because nobody else had a grip, and the only grip at that stage was the towel. And so I thought, this must be brilliant, but it turned out it gives you blisters, so I'm not sure it was actually the best thing going.
Oh yeah, I'd say it would blister the hands off you. All right, right, well, we've enough of that. Listen, my heart goes out to you, lads. I thought hot conditions were bad for footballers, but with all this stuff going on,
you haven't had any again, will you say?
Have it really handy. Have it really, really handy. There you go. The hurlers playing the victims again. The hurling snobs. Come here. There's a few incidents, lads, I wanted to run past you before we get into this. And first is the Maurice Shanahan penalty. Because I watched the Sunday game last night and I watched Michael Deignan, and they all agreed it was a penalty. I didn't think it was a penalty. I thought Maurice completely played for that. You don't get those decisions in hurling. Like, I mean, he knew there was a bit of, he felt a bit on his shoulder. He just threw himself back around. I don't know how there was so much universal agreement that was a Stonewall penalty.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, 9 times out of 10, you probably would get that penalty. If it's not, it'll probably look like a penalty for argument's sake. But, look, I suppose if that was 10, 15 yards out the field, he would have got free and no doubt about it.
Do you think so? Or do you think he just turned in and threw himself down? I thought he was clever with what he tried to do.
He won the ball in probably 4 or 5 lads went up and he won the ball, and then he probably thought once he won the ball then he was going to get guaranteed a penalty.
He deserved it,
after that, you know. But my criticism I'd have over the Waterford team was that Maurice Shannon was going in and he was getting pulled down, but Paul Gimani just ran to the referee to look for a penalty rather than going looking for a hand pass off, because all the Cork lads obviously submerged in Omar Shannon, didn't let him hit the ball because obviously he was right in front of the goal. But Parigman, if you look back at it again, Parigman just turned around and run back out the field rather than looking, going on Morris' right hand side and trying to look for a pop pass, if just in case he didn't get the penalty.
Right.
He just ran looking for a penalty, which I thought was scandalous, to be honest with you, because
I didn't notice that.
Wait until the actual ball has gone dead, then go argue with the referee all you want. But when the ball is still in play and you don't get the penalty, obviously the game is still live, don't go run to the referee, go looking for a pass and help out your team rather than run away from you. Know, I just couldn't believe when I seen it last night.
What do you think, Paddy? Do you think it was a penalty? JJ's completely abandoning the fullback union by saying it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a penalty too. Definitely.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to throw a man onto the ground for not, you know, for it to be a penalty. If you catch a ball inside, if I caught a ball in the full back line and a lad had his two hands around me, you know, around neck height, I think it's a free. Now, I think the biggest problem he did was actually jump to the ground a little bit too handy.
Yeah.
Like he did try and make a meal out of it, and then the ref was kind of going, geez, did they make much of that? Did they actually tackle him much at all? Was his arms just there? But really, Callahan's arm was, you know, two arms were around his front. And like that is a penalty. Arm around the neck, you know, anything like that, everybody knows you can't do it. So I definitely thought it was a penalty. I thought he made a meal of it, and I think a lot of players do that. I probably could be accused of it at times too, coming out with a ball. But like when you go down a bit too soft, the rest of the team will say, Jesus Christ, you know, nothing really went on there at all, or he's looking for the foul too much, or he's going down before the contact is made, so I'm not going to give him a foul for that. So, you know, you have to, he should have been trying to take his 2, 3, 4 steps and force the referee to give him a penalty then, but he didn't, you know. I mean, if arms are around the man, it should be a penalty, but when he went down straight away, it put the doubt in the referee's mind.
Yeah, I think he did. That was kind of why I was thinking it wasn't, because I thought he overplayed the contact altogether. And like, I mean, hurling's not like that. Like, I mean, you have to win your frees and your penalties and that. So I thought his overacting counted against him, and that's why he didn't. That's probably why he didn't get it.
Yeah, and in a way, he probably put his hands around him, all right, and probably he wanted to drag the defender down with him, all right, to be fair. Like, but I thought it wasn't just one lad; it was 2 or 3 lads in around him that kind of enclosed him one time. And
yeah,
when it's your man, you want to hold him up and not foul him, but then the other couple of guys that's in around him kind of react to the way, and then they push in, and I did think it was a penalty, to be fair.
What's the other one was it was Shane Bennett, wasn't it, with the face guard pull, and he clearly lost his mind a little bit at that stage. But so under letter of the law, that's a red card. We saw Podge Collins, I thought was, Jesus, it was so hard. But this is in the rule book in hurling that you touch, interfere with someone's face guard, it's a straight red. Now, can both of you explain, you first, JJ, why this is so sacrosanct that your face guard gets touched? Like, I mean, I heard someone reference he could have broke his neck. Is there a reason for this? They look like harmless fouls in the bigger scheme of things to me.
I don't think it's a red card, to be honest with you. You could get a lad a dig. You could break.
You're digging
ribs, no issue. You might get yellow, but you touch a lad's face guard and it's a red card.
Why did it come in? Was there something?
It came in a few years ago, and it just came in after, I don't know what incident happened now, to be honest with you, that they made this rule come in, but
so it is relatively new.
It is probably last 3 or 4 years, I'd say, because it's something that, look, I didn't think was actually too bad within the game, because I can't think of too many occasions where it did happen. Like, fair enough, if a lad come in a row and to pull the face guard off and the box away, fair enough, that's a red card, no problem at all. But just to touch a lad's face guard. Now, look, again, I know the guy yesterday, though, he did lose his head. He pulled him away, all right, but look, I think the Cork defender made a bit most of it as well, like, to be honest with you. But I don't think it's a red card, to be unfair.
Yeah. What's your take, Paddy?
Yeah, like, obviously, with the rules, strictly speaking, deliberate pull of the face guard is a red card. Now, you know, as JJ said, there's other things that are gone on, that go on the field, that dig into the ribs or anything like that, and you could get a yellow card for it. Now, I know myself, in I think, against Richie Powell, and he kind of nudged me out of the way and I went to pull his jersey. I went to pull anything. I didn't know what I was pulling, but he was in for a goal if I didn't. And it was a face guard I got now, and I got an awful slating for it. But jeez, I didn't care what it was. So I don't know, was that deliberate? So I can't really give out too much. But certainly when you kind of come up behind the lad and you're just frustrated and you just catch him and pull him onto the ground, like, that was a certain red card. But he had looked, he kind of made a draw in with the hurley as well at the same time, so he completely lost his head.
Yeah,
Stephen Bennett. And even I could see the next play that came in, a high kind of looping ball came into Shane Bennett and he was fighting for the ball, and Stephen was more or less, you know, 10 yards away, two of them inside, and he didn't even run for the break of the ball.
I saw that, yeah. I couldn't believe that, yeah.
Zonked altogether. I said, this lad's zonked. So he obviously lost his head. Lucky boy, and look, I suppose you don't want his summer to be kind of over for it either.
It must be something to do with neck injuries, that a sharp pull in your face guard could pull your face back and have some problem with neck or
maybe,
something.
Maybe it looks worse than what it actually is, to be fair. Like, you know what I mean? If someone pulls your face guard, look, it happens regularly. Like, you know, and you don't think you get too many injuries. Maybe it's in around your eyes or something like that, and you might get injured that way. But it looks bad, and it did look bad yesterday. Now, but that was a straight red. But
yeah,
there was ones that like Podge Collins that time, I didn't think it was harmless enough.
Usually, you want to pull the face guard off when you want to go boxing. And a fella, yeah. So you don't hurt your fists, isn't that it? This yeah. is the
and that's if you can think properly at the time. That's the problem.
And is the honourable thing, obviously, when a fight happens in hurling, is to drop your hurl, take off your face mask, and go at it. But if you drop your hurl and the other fella doesn't, then you're covering a big trouble.
I was told when I was younger, you can kill a lad with half a hurl, so don't ever drop your hurl.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You don't want to be the agent that drops his hurl
first. You're a sitting duck, then, aren't you?
Come here, Tony Brown tweeted, lad. Last night, and before we talk to Anthony Nash, he tweeted something I thought it was interesting. Gutted, but what has lifted me watching was young Mark Coleman playing natural wing back hurling. I thought it was a really interesting tweet, because I don't know what natural wing back hurling is, but when I read it and when I know the way Mark Coleman plays it, yeah. I went, it does seem like natural wing back hurling.
Yeah, I thought Mark just epitomised everything was good about Cork yesterday. He took the hits, he gave the hits, but he kept on going forward. He's very, very clever on the ball. Every time he gets it, he uses it properly there as well. And he never just lumps it into the full forward line. If he does, it's for a purpose. But he always plays crossfield ball, and he tried to pick out in his palm. Now, he got caught a couple of times, but what I like now, he got caught once, but the next time he got the ball, he tried to do the right thing again. Like, he didn't take the easy option for him. The easy option is just get the ball and get rid of it straight away. But he's comfortable. He goes down the field. Against Tipperary, he went down the field, batted on the ground, turned back, and hit across the field to one of his teammates over there, and they scored a point. And he's just very, very comfortable on the ball, and he goes forward all the time as well, and he takes hits and he gives hits as well.
And do you know the gas thing about it is, and I'm wondering, this is what Tony Brown means, Paddy, is that you very rarely see him anywhere on the field outside of the left hand side. You know what I mean? He works his wing, and maybe, you know, that's just, you know, I'm covering my wing. You won't find me in around under breaks inside midfield or across the field. I'm covering, I'm left half back, I'm watching that side of the field, I'm going to dominate it, and I'll give tasty ball from that position.
Well, yeah, I'd say, and a lot of the reason is they know that he's going to do damage from there. Like, he's not, he mightn't do damage coming in protecting the full back line or coming in under breaks from full back line, but they know if he receives the ball out from his full back line out in that left wing, he's going straight to the other side, and Harnedy, like, you know, it's little wonder Harnedy's going to town. Like, that's the kind of ball he's been missing, where it's floated in around. And he's faster, and he's bigger than a lot of full backs. So if you can give your full forward line that kind of weaponry, like, there's no need to be having him in running after lads all the time and that. But he, in fairness to him, he didn't lack in his defensive. Like, there's nobody getting the better of him. And I was so impressed that time he was out by the sideline, and he got one hit off a Waterford lad, and then I think Morris Shanahan hit him a nice shoulder, and he still close control, turned the man and popped it out. Like, and that's a lot of what Cork are able to do now. Big difference. They're not panicking. Like, he's as cool a player as I've seen now in 2017. And, like, I suppose, you know, what's changed in Cork? Like, look at that one player, 19 years of age, and it's such a difference even to one part of the field.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. Right, lads, that's great stuff. We'll leave it there because Anthony Nash is waiting on the line. Anthony, how's it going?
Very good, very good, Colin. Thanks very much.
Congratulations on the win. I'd say those conditions were testing, to say the least.
Yeah, geez, like, I spoke there yesterday after the game of how difficult it was even for me standing in goals, you know, to feel the heat and how, you know, how humid it was. And it was just, it seemed to be, you know, just something with the stadium as well, just adding to the temperature as well. So like I actually couldn't believe how energetic both sides were with the temperatures. It was really, really warm out there, like, you know, and you know, people were speaking after, sitting in the stand, how warm it was, and to see the effort the lads put in for 70 minutes. Like, you know, I know fellas, there was 5 subs probably brought on, you know, on both sides, like, but there was, like, you know, there were still players running around for 70 plus minutes, like, absolutely flat out, like giving their all, like, and it was a credit to both sides, to be honest.
Yeah, I've no idea how you do it. And I was talking to JJ and Paddy here in the studio, and they were saying in hurling that something I didn't even think about is your helmet is unbelievably sweaty and the sweat drips down into your eyes, and it's just a horrible thing to play in those conditions in hurling.
Yeah, that's it. Like in fairness, the lads, though, like the medical side, they put Vaseline on the lads' foreheads and stuff like that to try and keep the sweat out of the eyes. But like, it is something that, you know, you wouldn't really think about too much when you're like in the midst of a game. Like, it is probably something that, you know, obviously some fellas would maybe back in the day would throw off the helmets like Ben and Jerry used to and stuff. But look, it's just something that I suppose the fellas are so used to. We've all grown up wearing them now and used to playing, but like you're not used to playing in those conditions too often, you know. But it was, look, it was a fantastic day. It was great because, you know, probably added to the occasion, you know, a few extra couple of hundred thousand people might have turned up just because of the weather being so good then as well. So, you know, it was great all around, really.
Yeah. How much thought do you put into those conditions, or how much talk did you do about what you were going to have to face? And did the county board buy loads of factor 30 for you? And like, is there a whole meeting being had about getting fluids
I suppose it's, you know, a lot of it is like, you know, your strength and conditioning coach, like Declan O'Sullivan with us, would tell us, you know, advise us what to do or, you know, what not to do or whatever like that. But you wouldn't really kind of, you know, take much notice because, sure, like, you know, the weather is so changeable in Ireland that even though the forecast was to be extremely warm, you don't know until the day itself what's going to happen. And I suppose the day before, you're trying to stay out of the sun as much as you can, which is hard to do because we don't get it very often, you know. And it's kind of nice to see it when it's there, but you just try and stay out of it, like stay out of the heat and try and keep your energy, you know, levels up and stuff like that. Like, so it's a bit of a sacrifice, like, but, you know, it's worth it when you get to play in Turles.
Yeah, no, that's true. And what's the dressing room like at full time then when you get back in off the field? There's a lot of red faces, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, look, for fellas are flat out. Like, fellas, you know, like, it was obviously, you know, a good vibe in our dressing room, like, you know, yesterday after the thing. But fellas are tired, and, you know, some fellas were affected by it. Like, you know, a few fellas have headaches and stuff like that after the game and stuff. But, like, it was just immense effort. You know, it really, really was. I couldn't believe the energy levels that went in, like, you know, throughout the game. Like, you'd fellas running all over the field for 70 minutes in, like, torturous heat at times, like, you know, and I suppose the dressing room after, like, you know, you just had fellas getting fluids on as fast as they possibly could and stuff, and just relaxing, like, you know, as quickly and getting what you call it, getting themselves right to get the recovery started, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody's believing in you now, Anthony. Like, even us on the show, the Sunday game, everybody's on the Cork. Cork are real contenders now. When did you start believing?
Well, look, I wouldn't say we're contenders or anything, you know, we're in a Munster final, like, so I suppose we have to be seen as contenders for that. The fact that it's only a one-on game, but look, we don't look at it that way. We always believed in the strength of the panel that we had. Like, I spoke to you before, like, I actually believed in this panel as well last year, and just things didn't go our way, like, you know, for whatever reason. But I suppose, like, the start of the year, we got a few wins under our belt in the North Cork Co-op competition, and then, you know, we put good performances together during the league, and I suppose that brought a bit of confidence through to the lads, you know, all along. But I suppose, we always had hope. We always had kind of, you know, that we had a good side and a good panel, and that's the best thing about us this year. I think there's a good competition there. Like, as fellas that didn't make our 26 yesterday, they're, you know, fantastic hurlers. We've been going very, very, very well in training. But, look, we worked again yesterday, like, before we've got an immense test coming up in 3 weeks' time against one of the best teams, the farm teams in the country.
Yeah, I saw Seamus Harnady was saying after the match that he went up to you at half time and he asked you to put a couple of puck outs down on him. I'd say you get those requests a lot because they're so pinpointed. I'd say you have the whole half forward line saying, here, give me one or two there.
No, look, Shamey's that's a great attitude to have when you see a fella wanting him, like, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of win half time training, regroup and stuff, but like, Shamey's a very willing player, like, you know, he's fantastic, as are all the forwards and as are all the team, really. Like, you know, everybody plays hurling to get on the ball, you know, that's the way it is. Like, no one goes out to hurl to run away from it, like, you know, they all want to get on the ball as much as they can. So, you know, look, it was a good sign of character, like, when he came in to me at half time and said it, like, and, you know, he, in fairness to Shamey, he's just trying to help. you know, as best he can. That's the way he is. There's a great nature about him, like, and stuff. So, you know, he was a very positive thing for him to do. Like, but look, as you said there, everyone wants the ball, and everyone plays well, and to be honest, so, like, it doesn't matter whether it's puck outs or sidelines or anything, everyone's trying to get on him. So it was just it was good yesterday, because I suppose the one thing I would say is that, as you were mentioning there a while ago, with the temperatures being so high, I was worried about fellas being all movement and stuff like that, whether they had to keep going for as much as they would, like, and to see a fella come up and just put up his hand and say, yeah, look, just keep hitting them down, it was great to hear.
Were your puck outs always this accurate, Anthony, and did he always set up attacks that way, or was it when you were understudy to Donal Logan, he was known so much for his puck outs that you developed this into your game as well?
Look, I suppose a lot being spoken about puck outs and stuff, and Cork, look, a lot of the puck outs are won from work rate, like, it's not striking or it's not this, that and the other, and like, when the puck outs go wrong, I suppose, you know, you go back to the goal and look at it in as well, but like, it's just, look, they went well again, they went well enough yesterday. I think I haven't seen any stats or anything like that, nor you know, I wouldn't have seen anything what really went down in this, and not to dodge the question either, I can't remember half the game, I wouldn't be able to remember most of it, so whether they went too well or not, and that's honestly not dodging it, no, it's just the way it is, like, you know, you're so focused on the ball. Look, obviously I learned a lot from Don Lug and Martin Coleman when I was playing with them, and it's just something that, look, I wouldn't say they're accurate or anything like that, or overly accurate, I would just say that, look, the lads are winning them, and that's an awful lot down to the lads' aerial ability as well as anything else, you know.
Yeah, and you know, you're hitting them to the sideline and Lehan collects them and different lads collect them, and look, it just seems to be working so well for you with them, and like you said, it's a bit like the Dublin footballers, Cluxton's kickouts are only good because the movement's so good and he's able to put them, you know, exactly where they want. I want to talk to you about the defence quickly, Anthony, because all the talk last year was that you had to play a sweeper because you were so open, your half back line, there was teams running straight down the middle. That's completely gone now. You look absolutely rock solid. So I'm just wondering, you're standing behind these lads. What do you put it down to?
Look, the boys, they've a great attitude, right? They're fantastic attitude. And I wouldn't say we chose to play a sweeper at one time because we felt it was best suited to the team. It wasn't that, you know, our team was, you know, defensively weak in any way. We just felt it was the best tactic on the day, or whenever we tried it, like, you know, and whether it worked or not, then was one way or the other. But the lads are playing well. Look, the one good thing about our panel at the moment is we've great humility. There's grace, you know, we're very level-headed. Look, we're only after winning a match yesterday. That's all it is. Like, you know, if we met Waterford again later on in the year or next year, whenever like that, it'd be a completely different game of hurling. They could turn us over the exact same way, you know. So, like, we don't get carried away. We don't say everything's rock solid or defence is perfect. We have an awful lot to work on, you know. They created a lot of scoring opportunities yesterday, as did we, of course, that we need to take, and, you know, they might have taken as well. But the lads are playing well. Look, they're just, the one thing I'd say about them, and I think what's their best attribute is their attitude. They're a great bunch of lads. I enjoy playing behind any one of the, like, no, we've got 12, 13, 14 defenders in the panel or whatever like that, and, you know, it's grand for me to say it, and, you know, people are saying, look, obviously they're his teammates, and he's going to say it, but look, they're going okay, we're going well, you know, in training, and I think that's the most important thing, and it's just a good competition there. But, like, look, we're not getting one bit carried away. We're going in again, like I said, and I know it's cliche, and I know fellas will say it, but we are going in against probably one of the, you know, top one or two farm teams in the country at the moment, like, so we're going to have to be really defensively strong, and offensively we're going to have to be, you know, creating a lot of chances as well. So it's going to be a very, very difficult game, like, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between yourselves and Clare. You know, they're not coming off one or two great years and are turning it around, you know, as well this year. Just quickly, Anthony, were you surprised at the Waterford tactics? Like, were you expecting, we talked on the show here last Thursday, that we thought Waterford would, after seeing you shoot the lights out against Tipperary, that they might go back to a pretty defensive game plan. They didn't do that. Were you surprised at that?
Do you know what, right? When I swear, and I again know you're going to think I'm dodging the question. I actually don't know how they set throughout the game for a lot of us. You try and judge it, but they're such a free flowing team, you know, that their wing forwards are working very hard back the field and stuff like that. So one minute, like, their centre back could be sitting back, or the next minute he's moving up. And, you know, there's an awful lot spoken about Waterford, but, like, Derek McGrath came in third dressing room after the game yesterday and spoke very, very well. And you can see that there's a great passion in Waterford hurling. And, you know, every time we play against them, it's such a tough physical game of hurling, you know. And with regards to their game plan or anything like that, like, we worried about ourselves. We went in, we just looked at ourselves and saw what we can do and try and work to our strengths. And if a team bring, you know, something that doesn't suit us, we try and go again and try and change our game if we can. But like, to be honest about setups or anything like that, I thought it was just a good, it seemed to be a good game of hurling for people to watch. Anyone I spoke to after said it was a good open game of hurling, and I think, you know, it was nice for the supporters more than the players, you know.
Yeah, it was a good game. I thought most people and the lads on the show here says you were by far the better team. I think Maurice Shanahan's goal kind of kept Waterford in. I know you couldn't relax right up until the end, but in the second half you pretty much dominated that half.
But dominate's a very strong word. Like, you know, it's like they had, like I think Stephen Bennett had a chance, or Shamer had a chance to go for goal at one side and hit the side netting. If that had gone in, you know, they would have been in a completely different position then as well. So, like, you're never, ever, ever dominating in hurling, I don't think, unless you're really putting it up the scoreboard and you're pulling away from teams. You're not dominating, and I thought Waterford had a good few purple patches on us yesterday. So, like, I think that it wasn't as... Maybe to the public it was one-sided or for whatever they thought, but I can guarantee you one thing, we didn't feel it that way. We thought Waterford were in the game for every second of it up until the final whistle, like, you know.
Yeah.
But they have such talented players there that any one of them could do something, you know, on the spot, like any more, like most teams have, you know. So like in a game of hurling, two strikes of a ball, you're after losing 6 points, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, it's a very, very quick pass game, which is brilliant to see, but no, I wouldn't say, geez, in any way were we dominating or anything. I thought the lads played well and composed themselves very well throughout the game, but I didn't think at any stage that we were, you know, geez, that we were, you know, really over them, you know, completely. Like.
Yeah, an important thing that must have been pleasing, though, is your response when Spillane got sent off. Waterford only scored 2 points for the remainder of the game. I think there was 7 minutes left and then 5 minutes of injury time. That must have been very pleasing, that the game's in the melting pot. Well, I thought you were by far the better team, but Waterford could have been in striking distance, like you said, but they still never looked like mounting a comeback on you, even when you were down to 14 men.
Look, like when Cullum got sent off, like, you know, it was, we just had to kind of just refocus and get back into the process again of where we were to be in the field, and fellas had to move to certain positions and stuff. Kieran had us drilled into that anyway, that, look, just in case someone gets sent off, this is what we do or whatever. That's in fairness to the lads, they had us kind of well covered in that, just in case something like an incident like that happened. So I suppose the lads just kept hurling the way that they were hurling. You know, Water brought on 4 or 5, you know, attacks towards the end of the game. The balls could have broke different ways. They caught a few balls and stuff, and, you know, it could have flicked them into the back of the net or anything like that. So, like, look, while the scoreline might have reflected that we, you know, did very well in that patch, they still created huge opportunities for themselves, you know, and showed how good a hurling side they are, and used the ball very well coming up the field. So, like, we were never switching off. All we tried to do was just, I suppose, at towards the end of the game, try and close it out and see it out the best we could. And I felt the lads did that, you know, fairly well and fairly level-headed, you know, I suppose, throughout the last 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, today, quickly before you go, you can settle an argument we had here at the start of the show. Was Maurice Shanahan's penalty a penalty, or did he throw himself to the ground too easily? I said he threw himself to the ground too easily. The two lads thought it was a penalty. What did you think? You were
Arsene Wenger normally saying.
Well, you can't say that. You were 5 yards away from it.
There was about 4 or 5 lads in front of me. I couldn't see it,
Anthony, thanks very much.
No matter. Thanks very much.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, like, this might have only been a 5-point win here. I'll start with you, Paddy, for Cork. But it was a domination. It was like, I mean, Waterford, in my eyes, didn't deserve to be level at half time. They didn't even deserve to be in touch. Marty Morrissey kept saying in the commentary, Waterford are still in this game. They absolutely weren't, in my eyes. Like, I mean, there was only one team in the second half, and that was Cork.
Yeah, there was only one reason they were in it. You could only say they were in it because of it wasn't 10 points they were behind. They were only in it because, you know, mathematically you could definitely get them scores if they got a lucky goal. Even, you know, see the way, you know, Morris got a lucky goal there. That's the only reason they were in it. From a playing point of view, they were absolutely outplayed. 3 goal chances in the first half. Like, I mean, 2 unbelievable saves. I do think Harley's effort, you know, could have been a bit more clinical, but, you know, I mean, God, they could have been hammered at half time, 9-10 points down. And even the second half, I think the biggest measure of how much they were hammered in the second half is how little ball Morris Shanahan got in there. They knew he was one of the only lads who was testing the back line in the first half, and they still couldn't get the ball into him. Like, realistically, Walter probably, if they're looking back at it, Jamie Barron, maybe Morris up front were the only lads who really, really had a right cut off it, and everybody else was kind of very, very flat. But look, I remember saying this during the league, and I think you thought I was mad, that I think they were looking very, very flat during the league. I think the best performance was the second team that they put out against Galway, and I think they do need a big shake-up in it. You can't admit, they won't admit it, but, you know, there's staleness there. They need new blood. It's like Tipperary. They probably need a few new players as well. And if they don't get that, you're going to keep going, because they just need energy put into it. They're really, really lacking in energy. Cork were absolutely buzzing around everywhere. When there was 50-50 ball hit into the air, there was more Cork lads around to break. And that's a huge... Like, if you can't win your fair share of 50-50 balls, if you can't break even, then how are you going to play with the ball? And they weren't able. And they were always chasing Corkman yesterday. Very famous Tipperary were.
Yeah, definitely. And we might start with Cork here, because we'll talk about Waterford in a minute. And there's no doubt they were a huge, huge disappointment. But I tipped Waterford. I thought that... I thought that they'd go defensive. I thought that they'd strangle Cork. I didn't think Cork would have the same space. Waterford might have played into their hands, but I'm on the Cork. I believe in Cork now. I needed another performance, but they're the real deal now, JJ. However they've done it, however they've plugged up the gaps in defence, now they've a full-back in Catalan who looks aggressive, they've a half-back line, they've solid midfield, and their forwards, they have a variety of ways to kill you up front that a lot of teams don't have.
Yeah, look, again, I was interested to see what kind of Cork team would turn up, because, again, over the last few years, you didn't know could they do it back-to-back, but they've definitely put that to bed now. And the confidence they're going to get out of the game there yesterday as well is going to be absolutely phenomenal there as well. The leaders all over the field, and to be fair to them, like, you know, I thought Bill Cooper had a savage game midfield. He kind of got on top of Kevin Moore in the second half and kept on hitting him. And the hit he hit Kevin Moore in the second half just kind of epitomised what they were all about as well. Like, you know, and they coughed up possession and Cork went down and got a score.
That was some symbol of the way the game went, wasn't it?
Just Cork were going forward, and if Waterford were in the way, they weren't. Cork weren't going to go around them, they were going to go straight through them, and that's what they've done, you know. But look, they were on top all over the field, but again, you can't talk about Cork without talking about Anthony Nash's puckouts as well. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal, and the worker was in catch 22, because Conor Leahan was standing over the sideline for the puckouts, and he was only 60 yards out from his own goal, 65 yards out, but he just put on a play for Conor Leahan. Conor Leahan just had to stand there, and the worker couldn't leave the centre, because if he did, Nash would puck it down the middle.
Like,
and what was he supposed to do? And he couldn't leave the centre, and Conor Leahan got in a huge amount of ball there as well. And look, he loves going up them wings and hitting the ball over the bar. I'd say when he was a young kid there down in Cork, he just practiced off the sideline every time. And when he's in front of the goal, he wouldn't back him to score, but actually when he's on the sideline, he'd actually back him to score every time. You know, it's funny the way it goes.
Yeah, it is really a weird one. But up front, Paddy, they have Harnady who'll run at you all day, and he's good in the air. You know, they have Leahan who buzzes all over the place. Kingston is similar to Leahan. Then the full forward line, you've Pat Horgan who's a lethal finisher. You've Cadogan who'll run all day and make space, and you've Luke Mead who'll work hard. They've loads of different ways of hurting you in a forward line. And then, like JJ said, when you add the puck outs onto that, the halfback line's not sure whether to be following these lads or where to be going. And I don't know how this transformation has come about. Now, I know they've got a few new faces, but like, it's like I think Cork have gone from to being like real All-Ireland contenders now with the team they have.
Yeah, they're 100% real contenders. As you said, I'm a believer now. I certainly was critical of them during the league at times. I thought they looked very, very similar. I thought they got a couple. Obviously, they got Luke Mead and they got Coleman wing back. I thought they were great additions. But I certainly couldn't see them doing what they are now. But what they really, really have, the energy in them is unbelievable. And when you're working as hard as they are, you don't seem to be, you don't seem to think about how you're hurling or have as much doubts. When your team is just going to close down lads and close down breaks, I often think that's when you're hurling at your best. I think Kingston's definitely getting a few things right. Horgan up front is really, really buzzing again. And I don't know, I think leaving him after a couple of matches in the league has helped.
Yeah.
It mightn't, you know, you mightn't be able to kind of really, really see why, but the fact is, now he knows he's not indispensable. Now he realises, well, it's going to go, the show's going to go on without me, and they will leave me off the steal. So if I'm not at 100%, and we all know, if we're sure of our place, it's never, never the best place to be. Now he knows, if he doesn't get his few scores from play, if he doesn't set up scores, if he's a greedy player, off you go. You'll be gone, and we'll put somebody else in, because now there's lads coming in for him. Even the subs that came in, Luke O'Farrell might go in instead of, if you're not going to put the shoulder to the wheel. The huge variety they have as well is brilliant. Like they're not playing to a particular system. They are the puck outs, right? But when they have the ball in the back line, one time it's long, next time they might run it, next time they might do two or three short crisp plays. So their problem solving all over the field is after improving 100%. And look, most of them players were there last year, so you have to give massive credit to the management for that.
Yeah, and even Joyce and Ellis, like, who were there last year, much maligned. Oh, sure, they've wide open their defence, you know, and they've transformed. I know Coleman's brilliant, but like, he couldn't have made that much difference. They're just, they seem to be working hard all over the field. And even when they had the man sent, Spillane got sent off, like, Waterford didn't even look like they're coming back into Cork. Looked like they had extra men in defence and attack. I don't know how, like, how are they doing this?
The last 20 minutes, last 15 minutes, you wouldn't even think that Cork had a player sent off.
No.
Like, that was the beauty of it. Like, you know, if you came in and didn't see what happened, you wouldn't even think that and wrong. Like, you know, but them set of six forwards, like, a defender's nightmare is that they're going to run at you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if you're marking a guy and he gets the ball and takes a pot shot over his shoulder or something like that, you just say, "Dress grand, I'll take a rest here now." But these guys, these six forwards, will just go at you all the time. I think that's what they're told from the management, is get the ball, stay running. And
are you alive, Paddy? Are you alive there? Sounds like a dog is trying to kill you there.
The dog is going for me there. He heard the door,
but he's not happy. Go on, JJ. The forwards, yeah, you're right.
But it's just what I like now is, again, Paddy's dead right with Patrick Horgan as well, but what I like now is he had a chance for the goal. He kind of turned his defender, and if you look at it again, he kind of flicked the ball as he turned the defender, and when he turned, the ball was right in front of him.
That was a great move, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable.
Class.
The touch he has was unreal.
It was. No, there's no doubt about that. But, okay, do you think Paddy Waterford completely played into their hands? Because we got it wrong last Thursday, thinking Waterford would go back to their defensive style. They would flood the middle third. They would cut out any supply into that forward line. We even, maybe guessed that they would completely concede the puckouts to Nash, to let him go to the cornerback instead of letting Nash set up these great attacks by hitting Lehan on the half forward line. None of that actually transpired at all. I don't even know how to break down Waterford's game plan, because it seemed to be so much all over the place.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I suppose I tweeted it out after 1 minute of the match. I'm not a fan of sweeper, never was, but even just for puckouts, I think they were silly not dropping a man back. If I was from any county now, I'd drop one man or even two men back to take Lehan, and I'd let my centre back hold. And you'd say, right, for the puck out, let him. And the minute the puck out is hit out 50-50, as it should be, because everybody then would hold their man and the centre back would hold his position. Then when the ball is struck 50-50, as it should be probably in that situation, everybody can go back into their position then. Everybody can go back down the field. So you're not really holding a sweeper. It's just for the puck out, because it's obvious now, this is their big starting point. If Lehan is getting on ball, he's their big danger man. If he gets it, he's going to do damage. If he gets ball in open road, you won't catch him. So my number one priority after a Tipperary match would have been, right, Lehan has to be stuffed off the puck outs, whatever happens.
Yeah.
That's number one priority. Even sometimes if that means leaving the middle open, I'd be telling my wing backs, okay, you're the ones that have to shuffle in now, or I'd be telling maybe Luke Mead's marker, right, Luke Mead is going to be out the field, Lehan will be running everywhere, so Ty De Burka might follow Lehan at times, so right, Mahoney, you have to sit in there, you have to sit in as the centre back. So I think it wasn't it, but it's taken away from Cork really, because Cork moved them everywhere, and it doesn't just take Lehan to move for these puck outs. It has to be, you know, it has to be midfielders moving, it has to be wing forwards moving. At one stage they moved so well that the ball was hit into a full forward line from a puck out. So they were moving very, very well, but geez, Waterford saying that 8 weeks just for this match, and that's, you know, they looked maybe like a team that had it overthought, because they really, you know, they weren't up to it.
Isn't it surprising that Derek McGrath, of all managers, who's so tactically astute and who, you know, in the last couple of years has focused on defence, that he would leave himself open for these puckouts?
Yeah, but like, he could have any tactics under the sun, but the Waterford players were taking the wrong options. 65-70 yards out, they were shooting a goal. none of them went over. They were handing position back to Anthony Nash. There, Anthony, you can poke the ball down to Leigh Hander again. Like, you know, it just played into Cork's hands completely. The one guy you want to keep the ball out of his hand is Anthony Nash. Fair enough, if it drops short, he'll come out the ball and he'll clear it, but he's only going to clear it, he'll get it as far away from goal as possible. But for the puck outs, he's going to pick out Conor Leahan as much as possible there as well. But like, Austin Gleeson was taking shots, Kevin Moore were taking shots from outside the field, Pádraig Manny was taking shots from outside the field, all going wide, and that was just giving possession back. I'd love to see the stats on how many scores that Cork got from Walford's hitting the ball wide and giving it back to Anthony Nash.
Where's that coming from, Paddy? Because Damien Hayes talks about this on the show a lot, about breaking his heart when lads going for shots out there. Is this lads losing the run of themselves on the field themselves? Is it going for glory themselves, looking for points? Because just watching it, in the form Maurice Shanahan was in, it's just mind-boggling that they wouldn't pop it into him. It's mind-boggling. So what happens, these fellas doing that? And you see it a lot.
I don't know, and to be honest, maybe when you're playing the backs like we do sometimes, you know, the best option is obviously to dink a ball out to that, because you're not going to do much damage from your full back line. But when lads get up past, you know, their own 65, it's like fair game. It's like, you know, you're under 12 again, I'm going to get them booted. Like, I mean, if you have a full forward line there, if you have enough time to take a shot, you'd certainly have enough time to dink a lovely ball bounce in front of a full forward, and then the cornerback is in some trouble and the fullback are in some trouble. I find it just ridiculous. Even if you counter that with the way Cork are playing, the other last few minutes, Harrity got a ball down by the sideline, and I would expect a lot of forwards to just take that on, because he was on the sideline, but he was 40 metres up. We just dinked it into Luke O'Farrell, and when you're that close to the full forward line, it's very hard to actually mark full forward inside, because it's a quick ball in. It's really, really fast.
It's a more accurate ball, yeah.
Exactly, right in front of your man's path, Luca Farrell's path. So, like, I can never understand it. I know sometimes the rush of blood comes to your head and you maybe snap a ball and you're in your stride and you go for it. But I just, you know, I mean, for a team player, like, I know it said Noel McGrath, never mind him taking too many shots because he wouldn't hit too many wide, but unless you're 90-95% accuracy, let the ball in. If you have good forward inside, pop it in.
Yeah, no, it didn't make any sense, did it, JJ?
Like, sure. I think it's kind of going for individual score and getting yourself into the game rather than what's best for the team. I think that's what it is. A lot of them are taking pot shots that are probably 30-40% that will go over the bar, like, you know what I mean, one in probably 6 or 7 will go over the bar. But like, if you play that ball in, you're playing the percentages, you're playing your forwards, your inside forward line should be your kind of your goal scorers, your point scorers, more accurate players. So get the ball into them. Like, the half back line, the cornerbacks, half backs are not there to score, they're there to get the ball into the full forward line. Some people forget that and just want to go for their own scores. I don't mind shooting if you get yourself into the game and near the end you're playing well, your confidence is up, have a shot then, no problem at all. But don't take a shot just to get yourself into the game, and it might be the best for the team, but it might be the best for yourself. But that goes wide, the whole thing. You can hear any game you go up and down the country, some lads take a shot from outside the field and 3 or 4 of them go wide, and the whole crowd gets on top of the whole team, and the inside forward line start giving out to the lads out the field, and it doesn't bode well for a team.
Is that something, would Cody pull fellas up at half time if that stuff was going on?
He would if you weren't going over the bar. He definitely would, like, you know, because like, if you had Eddie Brennan, Henry Shefflin or Martin Comfort inside the full forward line, get the ball into him and get the ball in as quickly as we can, because that's why we always said Kenny was getting the ball quick as possible into the full forward line, because it leaves one on one inside the full forward line. That's what you want. That's what you want, your scores, and you're getting you, and once your attacker insider knows the ball is coming in. But for, I mean, I never played there, but as a back marking a forward, he makes the run 2 or 3 times and the ball's not coming in. The 4th time he's not going to make
it. He's demoralised.
And you're
saying,
lovely, this is grand. And then the one time he will come in, you might get out in front because they're not expecting it, you know. So
then he's losing a mind like Bennett and he's running around.
That's true. You get frustrated. Your head has gone out of the game completely because you made 3 and then the 4th one, you didn't make it. And that's the one everyone remembers as well because the defender bets out to the ball. Like, you know, it's all about just making the right decisions at the right time.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. It's a weird one. I want to talk to you about Austin Gleeson, lads, because, geez, my heart went out to him yesterday. And I'll tell you what, I'll read some comments that Derek McGrath made about him, right, Paddy, and I'll go to you first. So he says, it's no different what we did with him in the last few years. We gave Austin a free role and hoped Colm Spillane would follow him. He did. We hoped space would open up, but that's sport. That's the reality of what can happen. Now, this is my take on this from my experience in Gaelic football. Whether it's the same in hurling, I don't know. A free role is not a free role if you hope Colm Spillane is following him, because there's nothing worse than being a corner forward been told you're getting a free roll and you're out around midfield and the cornerback, the sticky cornerback comes out after you out there and man marks out around there. So you've so that's not a free roll, Derek. So I don't know why you're hoping that happens. What you should be hoping happens is that Austin goes floating around and Spillane leaves him float around. Yeah. So he's free out around the middle. So I don't know why you would use a Rolls-Royce player like Austin Gleeson to be used as a bit of bait to make space inside for two other fellas. Like, he's so much better than that. And am I mistaken here, Paddy, that Austin Gleeson, in the great games against Kilkenny last year, played centre-half forward. Padraig Comanny played in the wing because he was only back for that game. Mm. Austin Gleeson played centre-half forward. That's where you play him. See the problems Richie Hogan, all Conor Lehan. These problems these lads cause for centre-backs, they don't know whether to man-mark him or not. Yeah, yeah. Don't leave him inside like a lamb to the slaughter on a sticky corner back to follow him around for the whole day. Am I right or wrong in this?
100% right. I read them, read those comments myself and I was fairly baffled now because he saw the league the same as we did. We saw him floating in roles around and it's not suiting. It's not suiting Waterford and it certainly isn't suiting him. He's your best player. 100% the best player.
Yeah.
He needs to be put in a position and said, you use your skill, you use your ability to get us going in that position. Not be a bit of bait to run around the field
and make space.
Nobody's going to leave him free.
Yeah.
No, for who? For who are you making space for? Okay, grand hurlers. They're not Austin Gleeson, though.
Yeah.
Austin Gleeson has to be the man to lead that. That's why I'd be putting him centre forward or I'd be putting him centre back and I'd be saying, you lead that area of the field or you lead that area of the field. You get stuck in, you put puck outs on him, you get him on to brace, you get him running off shoulders, and that's it. I think he looks like a lad that doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing. Now, is that him or is that the management? They're making excuses for him in the league. They made excuses for him yesterday. Put him in centre forward, put him in full forward if you want, but put him somewhere and say, whoever you're on now, fight him. And if he's centre forward, then he can roam from there. Then you have a centre back going, Ellis going, well, geez, I have to follow Connor, I have to follow Austin Gleeson. And if he follows him, then you're leaving space right down the middle. If he does want to leave space, why doesn't he do it in the centre forward position? And if he doesn't follow him, then he's going to hurl all around. So I absolutely can't. Look at Lehan, the damage he's doing running left to right. Now, it doesn't work the same for every team, but it's the very, very same idea. If you want him to go loose, play him centre forward and tell him to go loose. It's the new loose, if you get me. Like, playing as a loose corner forward these days, teams are picking up on it too easily. If you're a good corner forward that's left loose, they'll mark you. If you're not doing damage, they'll leave you, and that's fine, and then they'll have extra in the full back line. But it's too easy combat these days, so I think centre forward nearly is the new loose position that you should be playing.
But you put yourself in Spillane's shoes. He's gone out the man mark harder the year, Austin Gleeson, massive challenge for him. He doesn't care if he pucks the ball for the whole 70 minutes as long as Austin Gleeson doesn't. And he done that yesterday, now in fairness to him, like, you know, and he followed him. Of course he was going to follow him. And Paddy, you're 100% right. Put him in the centre, because if he's over on the right wing, the ball goes over the left-hand side, he can't get over there in time. If you're in the middle, you can read the breaks left and right. You're always involved in the game. But if you're over in one wing and the ball is pucked the other side of the field, if you go over there, you're bunching it, you're playing in the Cork's hands. If you don't, then you're away from the play, and what are you going to do? You can't dictate the play. So they're going to have to either put him centre-back or centre-forward. Like, that's the big question that Waterford are going to have to answer. They're going to have to answer that question, if not this year, next year, the year after. It's going to have to happen sometime, because they can't just put him everywhere. He can't be putting out fires everywhere either.
But sure, like, the answer was there, though, lads. The two Kilkenny games, where he bloody dominated games from centre-half forward. Mm. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that he would put him in the corner, have a sticky man, and then use him for that, like, guinea pig to make space inside. Like, it's bizarre. And I think he's suffering from it, that he doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And the point he scored that he flicked up onto his hurdle, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that in such a swift movement.
Yeah.
Like, that he had it chopped back into his hand and turned and flicked before anyone knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, when you see him being able to do that, and then you see him on the periphery of games and floating around the midfield and trying to get in, and you see him getting frustrated yesterday because he wasn't playing well and he was trying to hit the odd lad a shoulder.
Yeah, he was
and it's like, you'd feel bad for him, because he's got a huge reputation now, and he has to build on what he did last year. And I'm sure personally he's under enough pressure as it is, without having to deal with all this, where am I playing or what role do I have, to centre half forward.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
there's serious pressure on him as well, because look, if you put a Padraig Manny on the wing, he's going to float around anyway. Like, you know, I mean, he's not going to stay on the wing there. Use him and then get him out of there and give Austin Gleeson that space, because you need to get him on space one on one, because he's powerful enough to take you on, and he has his own ability to take you on. He has confidence to take you on there as well, but his confidence is very, very low at the moment. That's clear to anyone to see, because yesterday, even after he poked the ball wide, I think there was a free given and he poked the ball wide, you could see him cursing at himself, and he just wasn't happy with his own game, the way things are going, and things are just getting on top of him. So he kind of has to kind of reevaluate what he's doing, maybe have a conversation with Derek. Look, Derek, what do you want from me here now? Let me know what you want and I'll do it, but I need to be in a centre position, whether it be full forward or centre forward, but I need to be in a centre, because if you're over on a wing and the ball goes over the far side, I just can't dictate a play.
Yeah.
Just get me on the ball as much as possible.
No, you can't. And even the extent that his brain was scrambled, Paddy, is even his sideline balls. I've never saw him knock so many sideline balls down, like completely fluffed them. For a man who can stick them over like Joe Canning, it was like nothing seemed to be going right for him, that he's just knocking these a few yards ahead of him, like taking the turf with him.
Yeah, and it's a very hard mental to have as the hurler of the year, I'm sure. We've seen it then, probably struggled with it before, and the last Waterford man to get it. So there's a huge expectation, like probably, you know, for a young man, you could be thinking, look, I have the whole of Waterford on my shoulders to win in All Ireland, you know, because he has that much ability. But I suppose he has to take, you know, he has to have his own thought now and say to himself, look, I have to look after myself here now. I can't do everything. I'm only 21 years of age. I just have to try and get back to basics. Probably the best thing for him now is go back and play a club match. Forget all about this for a little while. He's a brilliant hurler, absolutely unbelievable hurler, and speed and strength. So whatever that is, I think Derek McGrath obviously has a role in that. But he's a man who's very, very low on confidence, and I'd say just understanding of what's really needed. Okay, you can put a list of things you're supposed to do in the field, but it doesn't always work like that. You know, it has to be a very, very simplistic thing to do. And okay, the Roman role though is not working. Like, so I mean, you can't say it all throughout the league it didn't work. So I played championship last year, the Munster championship, it didn't work. The only place he's played well last year and this year is when he's put in centre forward two games in a row. And we know Kilkenny are a really physical, strong team, well able to defend, and he was able to destroy him. So I think maybe they'd get a bit too cute, you know, a bit too much thinking about, well, the other team will know he's centre forward, so they'll have a plan for it. It's very hard to plan against him, and if there's other players with him like that. So I think they're actually getting too cute about it. I think they just need to go back to building blocks and say, right, we're going to plant our centre forward there, and if he doesn't do damage, that's fine, because he's not playing fantastic at the minute, but at least we'll give him a chance to do it.
Yeah, exactly. What you want to say at this stage to Austin is, we're playing your centre forward for the year, we're not moving you out. You know what I mean? That, just get used to the position. Mm. Get it right in your head how you're going to play it. No matter how badly you play it, we're not saying how badly a player of the year plays, but even if you're not playing well, we're keeping you at centre forward. Don't worry, you're not going to be shifted off somebody else. And just try to build him back up, because he does seem to have lost it.
You're going to have to take a bit of pressure off him as well. Like, you're going to have to say to Austin, you don't have to score 5 or 6 points in a game. Win the ball yourself and throw it around to the lads as well, because there's one criticism I would have of him, that he thinks he has to do it all himself as well, and maybe that's added to the pressure there of what he's bringing to the table as well. But if he wins the ball, wins a free, or wins the ball and throws it off to Parigamani or something like that, if they're in space, they'll score. And he has to realise that there are very, very good players around him as well, so he needs to bring them guys into it. And then, look, if Derek can have a chat with him and say, look, if you can win the ball and do your bit for your team as well, it'll work out too, you know, and that's the way of getting yourself into the game.
Yeah, exactly. Great stuff, lads. We'll be back in a second with performance of the weekend.
It's bone to lie. There's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough, I won't tell you. But again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else. It's about Waterford.
We've waited so long. I know I've seen one of your tweets yesterday. It said 6 years. It's a leash, man. But it's a long 6 years for us there. And we're absolutely thrilled.
I remember after Leinster final, I was through the morning. My nephew was out in the lawn and he was taking freeze with his socks pulled up, pretending to be TJ Reid. And he fairly brought me back down to earth that day anyway.
All right, lads, performance of the weekend. And first one I want to give a shout out is to Conor Whelan, 7 from play. I know it was only Offaly and his team scored. No disrespect meant to Offaly, but they've slipped down a lot. When you see Brian Whelan being introduced to the crowd before the game, and then you think of the teams he was on, and then you see the team now. It's just like, two different worlds, two yeah. completely different worlds. But Conor Whelan got 7 from play, and it's not that he got 7 from play against Offaly. This is on the back of it must be 5 from play against Dublin, 5 from play against Tip in the league final. He's added finishing to the game that I was doubting, because I was asking you earlier on the year, what's, you know, what is this lad top drawer? Is he just a nuisance to mark? But he's now a nuisance to mark. He's turned into him. He looks like a bodybuilder now, whatever he's after doing. I don't know, is it the socks pulled up? But he looks, is he wearing he's like stocky, these yeah. rugby shoulder pads? But he's massive looking as well. And he just looks like almost the corner forward you want to avoid at all costs now.
If you were in the corner back now, you'd want to be swapping over to the other side now. But look, he's flying it at the moment, and he's epitomising. I suppose he's benefiting from jogging out the field as well, and he's playing a lovely ball into him. And he's quick, he's strong, he follows to the ends of the earth to get the ball back off you as well. And he's great appetite, and he's working very, very hard in that Galway full forward line.
Yeah, okay. Another one I wanted to give a shout out is to Damien Cahillane, lads, because like I was wondering, this lad played football and he played a bit of hurling, and I was wondering what he was best at. And he never really impressed me at hurling. He just didn't look aggressive, he didn't look like he was. I don't think he had a position. He was wing back, he was corner back, he was all over the place. And now he's full back, and he seems to have made the position his own, and that's two big scalps now. He's done well, and now Maurice Shannon deserves an awful lot of credit. Yeah, I thought he really tried, and I've campaigned for Maurice Shannon. I don't know how he's not on that Waterford team, because he has a bit of heart, he can win hard ball, but it was a great battle between the two of them, you know. And Cork now have a full back that when Maurice is on song, he can, you know, at least try to break 50-50 with him.
Break even with him. Like, but again, he's a big man, and he knows the two corner. I say quite a bit of confidence there as well, that the two corner backs will be able to cover for him there as well. Like, you know, he doesn't have to do a huge amount of hurling, but he holds that middle very, very well as well. And fairness to me, he's getting better game on game.
Yeah. What do you think, Paddy? Who are you going for?
I'm going for Seamus Harnady. I think, obviously, we've mentioned all the good players of Cork, that the new ones, and maybe Horgan is rebirth again, but this lad is one of their best players by a mile, I think, and he's back to the form he was a couple of years ago. So good in the air, so strong, take on every time, accurate, not unbelievably accurate, but fairly accurate. He put most balls over the bar, and like, he didn't start off fantastically well yesterday, but by God, he ran it. He ran the show from the second half going forward. When it looked like maybe Waterford were getting on top a little, he'd win a ball or he'd put a ball in, and he was assisting, he was scoring. I think if he's back in the form, like, he looks high in confidence now. During the league, starters league especially, he looked like, you know, he wasn't able to raise the ball anymore, or he didn't know what he was doing on the field. But now he's back to that form, so I think Cork, that's a massive reason Cork are doing well the last couple of games.
Yeah, have you ever marked him, Jade? You're being close to him. He's a bit of a torment to be marking.
I marked him in 2013 inside in Thurles there as well, and the day of the Cork Betters as well. Now, I didn't know much of him that particular day, but I knew a lot after the game. Now, he's very, very tall. You'd think he'd have it, but he puts up his hand the last minute there, and he's very, very quick and accurately strong as well. Now, fairness to me, he's everything now, and I'd agree with Paddy. Now, he's kind of leading the line in there, that full forward line.
Yeah, and Paddy, did you know, I don't know if you listen to the show, lads, on a Thursday when you're not on it, but Damien Hayes says he has great breeding in him as well. his mother won in All-Ireland with Tip Camogie or something.
Checking so the family tree there,
yeah, he's great breeding. That lad is breeding in him, Damien said.
Come out through the Ivan Neal.
So he really made a case for Harnady. Yeah, Damien just sent me the odd text now then after a match. I told you. That's all you... That's all you get off with his predictions. JJ, who are you going for?
I go for Coleman, wing back there for Cork. Thought he was absolutely brilliant from start to finish. He got a few kind of belts earlier on, but he took it and got stronger and stronger into the game, and every time he got the ball, he used it very, very well, and he tried to do the right things with the ball. And you'd have to, he's only 19 years of age, and this lad is going to get better and better.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He was outstanding, and we won't talk too much about him, Paddy, because we already spoke to him at the start of the show. But when Tony Brown's saying that he's restored his faith, he's restored his faith in wing back play, then you know that this is the real deal.
100%. No, yeah, he's brilliant. He had a great game, and just seeing him getting interviewed last night, you wouldn't realise how young they are with the helmet on, and geez, he was like a child.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he had real baby face on him altogether.
Yeah, so unbelievable. Just to have that maturity, even the way he spoke, you'd know straight away that's a lad that's here now, but he'll be there with Cork for a long time. He's very, very mature. So brilliant, brilliant performance again yesterday.
Yeah, and I think Mark Coleman is fairly well deserving player or performance of the weekend. So we'll be sending a mug down to him. Shane Kingston is a former winner from Cork. He hasn't got his mug yet because nobody's got their mug. And I just said this on the football show. I'm going to painstakingly go through every podcast this year, pull out all the mug winners, and when I get around down to making a few mugs. You'll all get your GAR Performance Weekend mugs, because I know you're all waiting for them. Don't start telling me you're not all waiting for these mugs.
I think the protein shakes in out of it.
Right, listen, that's all we have time for. We'll be back on Thursday, lads. Have we a big game next weekend? I'm after putting you on the spot. I'm not sure if we're back Thursday or not. I'm not sure what Ireland's on next weekend. We've enough to be worried about reviewing yesterday, but sure, you'll know whether there is a show or not when you see it flashing up on your podcast app. Right, good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.